Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Ronald Reichert as my special expert guest. Since earning his doctorate in naturopathic medicine from Bastyr University in 1989, Dr. Ronald G. Reichert has maintained a very busy schedule. This includes working as the VP of Science and Education for CSU Incorporated, as well as writing articles for such retail and professional journals as Alive Magazine and Health Notes Review of Complementary and Alternative Medicine. Dr. Reichert is the author of a book on the herb Kava Kava, published by Keats in 1997. Dr. Reichert also has a private practice in Vancouver, BC, Canada. He is a member in good standing of the Association of Naturopathic Physicians of BC and the BC Naturopathic Association. His medical-related expertise covers such diverse areas as European phytotherapy and applied therapeutic nutrition. Hi, Ron. Welcome to Sports Nutrition Update.
Thank you, Corey. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Ron, let's talk about your professional life as a naturopathic physician. What inspired you to become a naturopath?
Well, I was very fortunate as a child to have a German mother who strongly believed in the European tradition of natural home remedies. For example, when I had a flu or a cold or a fever, rather than call up the family doctor, I was given cold flannel ankle wraps, a type of Kneipp hydrotherapy to break the fever, along with something like a lindenflower tea, which is a diaphoretic. In addition, I clearly remember my mother, who was way ahead of her time, reading from the old prevention magazine, which was loaded with good tidbits on vitamins and minerals, and recommending certain dietary strategies for me. So I guess given this rich natural medicine upbringing, it's really no surprise that I became a naturopathic doctor.
That's amazing. And it just goes to show us how much of an influence our parents do have on our, I guess, decision-making process.
Yes, my mother had a great influence on that, and I owe her a great debt of gratitude for that.
Now, why did you go into naturopathic medicine as a field of medicine? What was it about natural healing or the health field that attracted you to it?
Naturopathic medicine really appeals to me because I'm very much interested in preventative care. I want to solve the problems before they get worse. And to me, the application of natural medicines to all kinds of problems was satisfying the radical spirit in me to do and be a little different than the regular crowd.
Now, some of our listeners have never been to a naturopathic doctor or a physician. And I'm hoping that you can help us understand what the difference is between a naturopath and an allopath. And for those of you who don't know what allopath is, that's kind of a conventional term that relates to conventional medical doctors. So what is the major difference between the two, Ron?
I guess in brief, a conventional medical doctor is trained to treat a specific type of illness. Asthma, you take the drug salbutamol. Whereas the naturopathic doctor, at least in my opinion, is trained to look for the cause of the illness or the dysfunction on multiple levels and treat that problem using minimally invasive natural therapies in a way that is complementary and unique to the individual person. So in the case of exercise-induced asthma, you need to consider employing a whole panoply of cures, not just one type of remedy. Yes, you need anti-inflammatory remedies such as fish oil, which increases lung volume. You need to consider employing antioxidants like beta-carotene, and for your listeners, they need to be aware of the fact that they need to be using bocisintrans type of beta-carotene, the mixed carotenoids, the mixed isomer type. Vitamin C prevents upper airway reactivity. Selenium increases glutathione, which in turn acts as helps eliminate some of the inflammatory byproducts you see with asthma. And then, of course, they also need a whole foods organic type of diet, which is critical. And, you know, if they are a runner, you have them avoid exercising during peak ozone periods. You want to eliminate the gastrointestinal dysbiosis, which is a change from the, I'm sure your listeners know, from the good flora to the bad flora. And, you know, if there may be also emotional basis for that problem. So that approach involves a number of levels, and you want to address all those levels. Again, this is a very integrated approach.
Integration, I think that's a key word. And also what attracted me to holistic medicine is the fact that you're perceived as more than just blood, flesh, and bones. There's this astral or metaphysical body, perhaps electromagnetism playing a role, and with energy medicine now starting to expand and quantum physics starting to define that. I mean, isn't that what a naturopath does? He kind of sits down and talks to the person and tries to get to know them a little bit?
Exactly. I think when you're dealing with patients on a one-on-one basis, you know, the typical intake for a medical doctor is 5 minutes or less, whereas as a naturopathic physician, you want to get down and you want to talk about the mental, the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual, as you have alluded to, and look at that from all aspects and really try to develop something that's very unique for that person.
Right, because we are multiply composite, I guess, multi-dimensional in our being. And naturopathic medicine, to me, is just an opportunity to address some of those primary causal root issues, right?
Exactly. You want to move from just a disease state to real wellness. And there's a continuum that if somebody is ill, certainly you can get rid of their illness, but that's only half the problem solved. You want to take them from a disease state to a state of true wellness.
Now there's a book for you, Ron, right there.
There
Health
you
as a Continuum.
There
that's
you
really
go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now as a naturopath, do you specialize in or have a particular focus in certain areas of natural medicine?
I think that as a kind of a general naturopath, I almost treat anything that walks in through the front door. However, my primary interests are in phytotherapy, and phytotherapy was coined by the French physician Leclerc in the late 1950s and kind of represents a modern scientific interpretation of botanical medicines. Having said that, I'm also interested in traditional herbal medicines because I think you need to blend both. I'm also interested in naturoceuticals, and I'll call that the naturopathic and therapeutic applications of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, probiotics in clinical practice, and specific dietary changes, some whole foods, organic changes. I've done a lot of personal work in my practice with the adjunctive integrative care of hormone-dependent cancers, breast and prostate cancer. And I've done a lot of work with asthma and autoimmune conditions like rheumatoid arthritis and ulcerative colitis.
So you're getting a broad spectrum of people, young and old, kids, seniors, middle-aged, whatever, coming in with various health complaints. Now, what about the athletic consumer coming into a naturopath? Let's say that they've got maybe an injury. Let's say they're taking glucosamine sulfate on a preventive basis to ward off potential knee injuries, or maybe they're taking it because someone told them about it being relative to the treatment of their condition. Is there any scientific literature to support any of this?
I think that when it comes to either glucosamine and or chondroitin, there's a lot of literature to support this. I think when it comes from a sports medicine standpoint, there's a bit less, but I think that the veil of confusion surrounding the aspects of glucosamine and its preventative aspects from a scientific literature standpoint is starting to lift. There was a really interesting publication from the recent British Journal of Sports Medicine written by Dr. Braham, and for your listeners, that's volume 37, number 2003, pages 45 to 9. And they took 46 patients with knee pain secondary to cartilage damage, not just osteo, and they found out that a dose of 2 grams per day, and notice they've gone up from the standard 1,500 milligrams, they went up as high as 2 grams per day, and what they found is that 88% of the patients reported some degree of improvement in their knee pain compared to only 17% in the placebo group. So yes, I think that as the literature starts looking at this, you're going to get more and more athletes taking glucosamine, likely on a preventative basis. It makes so much intuitive sense.
And because glucosamine is made from glutamine and glucose inside the body, that's where I bring in the essential need for glutamine as an amino acid, which is not in the truest sense essential, but could be conditionally needful to the athlete who's got a lot of weight-bearing stress on their joints.
Yeah, I think with the amino acid L-glutamine, I mean, it's funny. If you look at some of the medical literature on using L-glutamine in high doses for the treatment of burns, they're coming out and saying exactly what you're saying for the burns, that this is a conditionally essential amino acid for treatment of burns. People have severe burns. Because it seems to decrease gut permeability, and more importantly, it has a profound effect on the immune system.
So these products are now entering into mainstream application. And it's what, because of the science? Because the science is irrefutable?
Yes, I would think that when it comes to something like a glucosamine or even a chondroitin perhaps less so, but a glucosamine, they have done meta-analyses, they've done double-blind placebo-controlled studies, many, many, many of them, and it's irrefutable. I mean, there's no way a medical professional could come in and say now that you should not be taking glucosamine sulfate. It's impossible.
Now, what about something like shark cartilage? The product that I use has the combination, and then you see all kinds of different formulas out there. The consumer walks in the health food store, they're looking at glucosamine. Do you think it's a good idea just to stick with the pure form, or do you think something like shark cartilage or chondroitin is good to combine it with?
Funny enough, I like the idea of a mixture. The literature hasn't supported one versus the other in terms of clinical outcomes, but there's a lot of good laboratory studies suggesting, very interesting, that if you combine the two, you get a synergistic effect in stimulating glycoaminoglycan production. It's a great little paper by Lipiello out of Clinical Orthopedics, written in the year 2000, the volume 381, pages 229 to 40. And he goes into some detail in that for your listeners who want to look into more detail for that. I think when it comes to chondroitin, that's another aspect. And chondroitin can come from bovine sources, it can come from chicken collagen, and it can come from shark cartilage. And the chondroitin in and of itself has had some fabulous studies. One paper, and they actually gave about 1,200 milligrams per day and compared it to the drug diclofenac. And what they found in this particular study was that once you stop the drug, of course, the pain came right back. Remarkably, with the chondroitin, they could stop it after about 3 months, and then the pain relief would last for 3 months. And the cool thing about that is that if you continue on with NSAID use, which is one of the drawbacks of that, there's actually a lot of literature, controversial as it is, showing that NSAID use is actually damaging to the cartilage. So it really makes no sense to use these type of medications long term. Far better to roll over to the natural products, glucosamine, chondroitin, any natural product other than long term use of NSAIDs. Short term for pain, fine, but long term, not
so
a good strategy.
So these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, they're the drug of choice typically when you walk into a physician's office with some evidence of inflammation or damage.
Right.
And their application is limited by the fact, and this is what you're saying, this is what the study seems to point out, that once you stop them, the pain returns, because they really don't heal the body, do they?
Exactly. And, you know, as naturopaths, one of our primary tenets is to treat the cause.
Right.
And that's exactly what these wonderful chondroprotective agents actually do.
Which is a huge issue, isn't it, in sports nutrition and in athletics?
I concur, because there's a lot of, you know, gymnasts will often pre-treat themselves with high-dose NSAIDs to stop inflammation after hard workouts or an exercise routine, but they're really doing more long-term damage than they actually are good.
Now, we've talked about how you can treat pain or inflammation with the drugs, but this pain inside the body, and if we're thinking about cause and origin and healing people, what does pain tell us when we are walking around in a state of pain?
I think pain is a warning signal for us, and I think that kind of warning signal means that we have to make some changes. That could be physical, mental, or emotional changes. And I think we need to make those alterations. You know, to me, it's always a sign. Pain is not a bad thing. It's a sign that change is necessary.
So we've got this pain in our body. Does it indicate cell damage or some type of inflammation usually? Or,
you know, could be anything. Could be tissue damage, could be with the inflammatory response, could be secondary to an autoimmune problem, could be secondary to poor biomechanics. I mean, there's a number of reasons, and the degree of pain will actually vary depending on what the particular problem is.
That's right. And I know that one of the variables that is associated with achieving world records is tolerance for pain. You know, pushing yourself through that physical pain, the body's saying stop and stop, but you're pushing through that. So pain is an interesting topic, and is not. It's kind of like electricity, isn't it? It's not really completely defined.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I think that, you know, we like to think we understand all the scientific ins and outs of pain management. We really don't. I mean, I think there's a lot more research and work to be done, and it is electrical in nature, as you well know.
The nervous system comes to mind, the immune system, the tissue, the fibers, the physiology of structure and anatomy, all that stuff. So I guess that part of the naturopathic definition of health and wellness would be what, pain-free living?
Pain-free living is a very good strategy.
And that's not something that a lot of seniors are experiencing, are they?
You know, I would say seniors as a whole probably are not well looked after. And I think that as you get older, you suffer from more chronic degenerative problems. And I think that part of the whole thrust, I think, of naturopathic medicine and maybe society as a whole, if we can be so bold, is to really change that and to really start on very much working on a preventative basis where we're actually giving the glucosamine early to prevent joint damage, where we're actually encouraging solid whole foods or organic type diets, you know, with its rich load of antioxidants to prevent cardiovascular disorders. So, yeah, the prevention is better than the cure by all means.
And this paradigm that you keep referring to of whole foods, that's the foundation, isn't it?
I think that it is. You know, dietary changes are critical for any program that you ever do. I mean, clearly I'm a strong believer in supplements and I use them on a regular basis, but nothing is going to make any changes unless you change your dietary. And I think you have to go to, you know, clean water, clean sources of food whenever possible.
So the quality of the food, that always comes to mind. Now, what types of dietary changes in general do you recommend for your patients? For example, if a patient presents with a chronic degenerative condition like rheumatoid arthritis, can you give us a brief outline of what you would recommend?
To answer dietary changes in question and, you know, this the old Roger Williams theory of biochemical individuality. So the diet really needs to be tailored to the needs of the person. The low-carb, high-protein for weight loss, complex carbohydrate and oily fish. I guess you'd call those people pesco-vegetarians for rheumatoid arthritis. A diet low in tryptophan foods and or allergens for asthma. You know, for sports training, and the people understand what carb loading is, but I don't think they really do a lot with high and low glycemic index type foods, pre and post workout.
Right.
I think that's a key thing. But specifically with rheumatoid arthritis, I mean, what I would do is, of course, use omega-3 fatty acids from fish at a dose of about 3 to 4 grams per day, and I'm meaning a supplement here. I think that would be key. And I think you would add in herbs like stinging nettle leaf, which blocks pro-inflammatory cytokines like tumor necrosis factor. And you could use a herb like Boswellia, which is, you know, Indian frankincense, which actually blocks leukotriene synthesis and hence has a profound anti-inflammatory effect. And a complex carbohydrate, vegetarian, omega-3 rich, organic, yes, diet. They've actually done studies where they've combined, where they've actually split people into two groups, fish oils and then fish oils with a what they call a vegetarian diet. And they found out that the results in terms of its anti-inflammatory benefits are far more profound when you combine the supplement approach, the 3 or 4 grams of omega-3 fatty acids, with the dietary approaches. So again, we're getting back to this integrated, holistic point. You know, some exercise is critical for them, probably pool exercises for people who have rheumatoid arthritis to help. Literally, the hydrostatic pressure of the pool helps pump out some of the inflammatory chemicals that are a process of this particular problem.
So what I'm hearing, it's not one or the other. It's not the supplement. It's not the food. It's both. And that's a new paradigm, isn't it? Because isn't the old way of looking at this, well, I eat really good, so I don't need to take vitamins, or I should take vitamins because my diet is not necessarily ideal. But what you're saying is that your diet should be ideal, focused on whole organic food, and you take the supplements, and that's the best of both worlds.
Exactly. You said it very succinctly.
Perfect. Okay. Because that's something that I strongly promote, believe, and have seen so many people, when they apply that strategy, you get nothing but a very positive outcome.
Exactly. Well, you know, you need the triumvirate. Excellent diet, good use of supplements and an excellent exercise program. And I think that if you follow those guidelines, you're going to be miles ahead of anyone else.
Outstanding. Now, I know that you are an author. What books and or journals would you suggest that our listeners review if they have a greater interest in botanical and nutritional medicine?
Well, there's a number of really good journals out there. Let me start with something called FACT, which is Focus on Alternative and Complementary Medicine. This is a publication by Dr. Edzard Ernst, who's the complementary medicine chair at Exeter University in Great Britain. It covers everything from chiropractic to acupuncture to herbal medicine to nutritional medicine, and it really summarizes a lot of the world literature and gives their expert commentary with it. It's a little more conservative than I would like, but I think it's a nice balance and provides a very nice journal that comes out on a quarterly basis and really should be read frequently by a lot of people who like to work in this particular field. The other thing is something I get called Clinical Pearls. And that comes out of California. This is also a very good publication. Summarizes a lot of nutritional evidence in there in a very short newsletter type of format. There's also published Dr. Miller and his group from one of the supplement companies in the United States publish a journal called Alternative Medicine Review, and that's also a very good publication. Covers monographs, original articles. It's indexed on Medline. A very worthwhile journal to have. And the other thing, which for more a sports nutrition aspect, is the International Journal of Sports Nutrition and Exercise Metabolism.
Yes.
One of my regular readings that I find to be very helpful. And I'm sure you have a number of journals that you think that are very good too, Corey.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that the key is to get on to something, whatever it might be, whether it's the International Journal of Sports Nutrition or Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise. That's another good one that I like. Sometimes you have to pick and choose. You don't always have time to read the entire journal. And like a miner, we need to be looking for the gold and silver. Maybe there's a particular topic that really stands out, and you can just sort of highlight that and go back to it and read that while you're on the life cycle or something.
Yeah, exactly. And you can, with some of these journals, you can just skim and see what's interesting for you and pick out, as you say, what the gems are. For books, while we're on the topic, let me suggest a couple of textbooks here written by my old nutrition professor from Bastyr University, Michael Murray and Melvin Werbach. Nutritional Influences on Illness is an excellent text. It's in a summary format. And, of course, the companion volume to that called Botanical Influences on Illness is also really great. There's two other books. There's the classic text in the field by Luke Bucci called Nutrition Applied to Injury Rehabilitation in Sports Medicine, a fine, fine textbook that really covers a lot of nutritional supplements and how they work on a sports medicine basis. And a recent book that I've discovered that I found to be quite good called by Jose Antonio and Jeffrey R. Stout. It's a nice textbook written in 2002 on sports supplements.
Yes, I've got that one.
And
it's a good one.
It's a good text, a little conservative, but again, a good text for people who want to understand more on the physiology behind the whole sports arena.
Absolutely. So the emphasis then, people out there, is to take time to read, to study. You don't have to, you know, spend a lot of time every day, like hours upon hours, but I've discovered too that you can read an entire book in a month just by reading 15 minutes a day.
Exactly. You know, the old adage that readers are leaders applies very critically here, and I think that you need to read, understand, and think. That's one of the opportunities we have on a day-to-day basis, and I think it's an important one. And even if you read a little bit every day, it adds to your store of knowledge, develops your critical thinking skills, and, you know, opens your awareness to greater opportunities.
Yes. And the reason why I put, you know, SNU out there to people is based on my experience with FMU with Dr. Jeffrey Bland. I just find that audio information gets into the brain in a different way, in a practical way. And so audio and visual stimulation and videos, all of these learning tools, the technology today is amazing.
It is. And yes, sports nutrition update and functional medicine update, as you have alluded to, have become part of my welcomed and monthly important reviews for my own education.
Now, in addition to your private practice, Ron, you consult to the natural products industry. and write for various publications. So you're a busy guy. How do you find time to train?
Well, I mean, I try to get out at least 3 times a week and at least for an hour, and the standard combination of aerobics and weight training and alternating different muscle groups when I can. I found that, you know, I use a personal trainer at least once or twice a week, and that keeps me motivated not only to train, but I think to keep the exercise schedule varied. Because I think what happens is people get into too much of a routine. They're overtraining one type of muscle group. It's not good. You need to have someone look at your training program from an independent standpoint and break it up, and so you get a better training regimen.
So did you hear that, Tracy? He is into personal trainers, so here's a good lead for you. She's doing a lot of personal training these days. But you're right on the money with that, Ron, because a personal trainer is kind of an expert in their field, and they're there to show you the way, basically.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I specialize in specific areas, and, you know, you need to rely on outside experts to really help guide you in different areas.
Well, our time is gone. As per usual, the moments just fly by. I've really enjoyed this interview, Ron. You're a wealth of information. You're very insightful. You obviously have a lot of experience to draw from. For more information about Dr. Ronald Reichert, our listeners out there, you can call him at his office in Vancouver at 604-874-8849. And once again, we're at the end of the segment, and we always ask our special expert guest for a final word.
Let me leave your listeners with one of my favorite quotes by Winston Churchill, who, at the height of the Second World War, when everything looked very bleak, he came out with a phrase, and one of it was, "Never, never, 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 never give up."
Well said, Ron. So everyone out there, hang on to those words. Whatever it is that you're doing, stay true to yourself, stay true to your passion, and never, never, never give up. Thanks very much, Ron, and we'd be happy to have you back on another SNU.
Thank you.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services, located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHolly.com. This is Doug Austin, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.